You can be seated and please turn to Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. Where last week we left off in our study through the book of Genesis. Last week we saw that Jacob married Leah. Actually didn't mean to marry Leah at first, but did. And then because he was deceived by Laban, his uncle, and married Leah and then Rachel. And by those two women and their two maidservants, he had 12 children, 11 sons and one daughter. And so he had to work for 7 years before he could marry even one of his wives, which ended up being Leah. And then after a week of being married to her, then he was able to marry Rachel, but only on the condition that he works another 7 years for Laban as a dowry. So when our study today, we see that basically Jacob gets to the point where he's worked for 14 years, and during that time he's had his 12 children, and again, one of them being a daughter, and these 11 sons, soon to be added to that by Benjamin. He's going to have one more son, Benjamin, which becomes the 12th tribe of Israel. Through these women and through these 7 years of working for Laban, and then a little bit later, Benjamin, we have the birth of the Jewish nation that's around to this day in this world. And so again, we study the Bible. Why do we study the Bible? I mean, we're reading the beginnings of what is a reality in our world today, miraculously. As we mentioned last week, it's a miracle that there's a people that has still identified back to these roots, even though for 2,000 years they didn't even have a homeland to be called their own. Imagine if somebody kicked us out of America and we're scattered through all the nations of the world. Would those Americans stay Americans in their mindset and in their families for 2,000 years, scattered over all the nations of the world, and 2,000 years later say, we've got to go back to America and be Americans again, same language again, same customs, same, it's impossible. We are studying the Jewish history, which is a miracle from God. There's no other explanation. And to study the miracle from God is to study the true God behind all that miracle. And we know it's the truth. So basically Jacob says, okay, I've been working for 14 years for this guy and I got a family, but I don't have a bank account. I don't have my own bank account. And he's just wanting to go back to his family down to the promised land of Canaan, to the promised land. God had promised in the land of Canaan, which would later be given over to the Jews. God had promised Abraham, his grandfather, and Isaac, his father. He goes, I want to go back to where we're going to ultimately be. And that's what our study is going to be today and ending with communion. And I just want to say as a lead-in to communion for everybody here, Jacob says, I want to go home. I want to go where I'm supposed to be, promised land. And I don't want to work in this world that really doesn't like me, hates me actually, treats me like garbage. How many people have been treated like garbage by the world? Everybody? How about, especially if you love Jesus, have you been treated, ill-treated, even by family, coworkers, and everything else? It makes you kind of want to go home, doesn't it? And see, our home is heaven. And what we're thankful for in remembering once a month, we remember the only way we can go home is because of Jesus. I've traveled at times during troubling international situations to Africa and wherever else. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, man, how would I be able to get home? I even talked to the different ministry people. What could we do? I even thought I could go to the Navy and say, hey, I used to be a sailor. I'll work in the engine room to just get me home. But what if there was like you're caught someplace and you're like, there's no way to get home. Wouldn't that be a disaster? You have that yearning to go home and you can't. Well, see, that's the way it was. When man sinned, we were separated from God. No way home except for what God had promised through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to give you a Messiah who is going to be the one way home that will give a blessing to all the nations of the world. And it's only through him we can get back to what God had for us, which is everlasting life in heaven with him. And we're going to remember that today. So, chapter 30, verse 22, it says, then God remembered Rachel. God listened to her and opened her womb because she had been barren for these 7 years, roughly 7 years. while her sister, Leah, the other wife of Jacob, and her maidservant and Leah's maidservant gave birth to the 10 sons up to this point, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Joseph literally means he will add. So God somehow communicated to her a promise, you know, this isn't going to be your only child. There's going to be another child that comes. And she just knows that. She names Joseph based on what, however she was communicated to by God that there would be another son. So this week, that's where we ended last week. This week, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, his uncle, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. So, again, he just wants to, he's penniless. He goes, I just want to go. I work for you, you made me work. You deceived me. You made me have to work an extra 7 years. I want to just get back to my hometown. I want to go home. And I want to take my children and I want to take my wives. Which we're going to find out later next week that Laban considered that they're his. They're still my daughters. Everything that you have is mine. Isn't that the way the Arabs are with the Jews to this day? You know, they have their land and everything else and the people, and the world wants to say, no, we want it. We want to take it. So he's even saying, I want to go with my family. Don't rip me off and say that everything that's mine is yours, which is he's going to do. Just let me go without any bank account of his own is what he was wanting to do. What should Laban have said? Think about that. What would Laban have said? Like I said last week, there's no empathy in the world today. People think nothing of ripping off people at the corporate level, the private level, everything else. If there was any God-fearing conscience in Laban, he'd say, you know what? You worked for me, and what I want to do is bless you and send you off with your due wage, really, to bless you and your wives and your children because you have made me a wealthy, wealthy man. And I can share some of that wealth to give to you and send you on your way because you are the promised child. You're the promised, the father of the promised people from what he knows. He's got to know what Abraham was promised by God, what Isaac was promised by God, and therefore what Jacob has been promised with God. He's actually the boss over this guy who is a promised man. And those children are a part of the promise of God. If you had any fear of God, go and be blessed. Because God told Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. He doesn't do that. And because that's the way the world is. They don't care about anybody except him, themselves. And we're in a self-absorbed world today. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. I don't want you to go serve God. I don't want you to go back to the promised land God told you to dwell in until he gives it to your descendants. I want you to make me rich. I want you to be under my thumb. I want you to be a slave of me living in this pagan, idolatrous area of the world. Is that what the world does to us too? How about the first time you told your parents that you're going to go serve Jesus? Oh, don't be doing that. Come and stay with us. How about your cruddy buddies? You know, people that you used to hang around with in the parties. And you say, it says right here in Peter, I've spent enough of my time living for the lusts of the world, and now it's time to start serving Jesus. What did your friends say when you told them that? Stay here. Don't go away. We'll disown you. And so Laban is just serving the devil. And see, you know, today, people like the Jews because they invent things. In fact, I did a little Google check. Did you know they are first in the world for medical device patents per capita and second in Europe for biopharma? You know, they lead the world in all these discoveries. And so the world tolerates them, but they really, as we saw in the news this week, Jordan, who's supposedly in a peace treaty with Israel, the king of Jordan said, we have the most animosity with Israel right now that we've had. And if Israel thinks that they can If they aren't going to give the land to the Palestinians, then it's over between us. They cannot be a member of the Middle East. What does that mean? Unless you do what we tell you to do, to give land to the Palestinians that God has given to you, then we're going to annihilate you from the Middle East. That's what they're saying. So it's God has given. Yeah, see, Jacob blessed Laban. And the Jewish people, by the grace of God, by his mercy, he's given them great wisdom that's been a blessing to all the nations of the world, just their wisdom. And that's not everybody. That's not the Rothschilds and the globalist bankers and the other people. You know, but there is a benefit to the fact that God has blessed this world with the wisdom of Jews. Then he said, verse 28, name me your wages and I will give it. So, okay, I want you to stay here. Just ask me what it's going to cost. Don't ask for more than minimum wage. And you can stay here. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? Why were the flocks little? We talked about it in chapter 29. When Jacob first comes to his relatives there in Haran, he realizes, why are you guys leaving all the sheep around the well here? Well, we have to wait till everybody brings their sheep before we can open the lid off of the well and water them. And he goes, that's dumb. Water them now and get them to eat again. You don't want to wait till later on in the day. So he had the wisdom on how to take care of the flock. Laban and his shepherds were all about the process, all about the requirements, all about the stuff that Laban had come up with about the well. Jacob cared about the sheep, so he did more work and took care of the sheep, and they prospered in his care, and God gave him great wisdom. You know, one thing I've noticed is people that fear God, love God, work an honest day. You know, what do we see happen? They excel in the shipyard or wherever else that they're going. Why? Because God gives his people wisdom. Wisdom of how to be a good worker, wisdom on how to do a job right. And we see that wisdom was given to Jacob, and it blessed Laban, his boss. In everything that he did, he was blessed. Verse 31, so Laban said, well, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything if you will do this one thing for me. I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. And it's kind of confusing. These verses that follow make it really confusing to the commentators about what's going on. And here's the one that makes it totally clear. You know, Laban had a flock that Jacob had been taking care of. And there was a few speckled and spotted. And for the most part, the rest of the herd was not speckled and spotted. And what Jacob is going to say, these verses are no contradictory. There's no contradiction if you look at it this way. And Jacob is saying, let me just take all the speckled and spotted out right now, because they're yours, and go give them to your sons. And then I'm going to take care of your flock, and all the speckled and spotted that come from your flock then are going to be my wages as I work for you another 6 years. Then everything makes sense in the verses that follow, even though that's not really clear in the verses that we just read. But you'll see that it becomes clear with these following verses. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And we're going to find out that Jacob then he leaves. And Laban says, okay, that's a great idea. Take all those sheep, I'm going to get them 3 days travel away from the sheep sheep and goats of my herd that you're going to be taking care of. And they're going to be 3 days away, those speckled and spotted and normal. And then you go do your thing. And what Jacob is saying, everyone that's speckled and spotted after that will be mine. And then what Jacob is saying, oh, well, here's a speckled one, so now I'll treat that as my herd. And then I'll keep looking over Laban's herd. And Laban's thinking, you're not going to get any speckled and spotted. You're going to work for me forever. And so what happens, what we're going to find out, is that that whole herd turns into speckled and spotted by the wisdom of Jacob and the divine intervention of God. So, and Jacob's saying, then we'll keep the two herds separate, and it'll be, if it's speckled and spotted, it's mine. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word, I get to rip you off. That's what he's saying. You're stupid, Jacob, because you're going to work for me forever, and you're not going to get any herd. And this is going to be great. Thinks it's a great deal. Is it ever a great deal to rip off and curse the Jews? Never. Even with the division of the land of Israel, they were supposed to get right after, when they were formed as a nation, they were supposed, well, actually, when the United Nations partitioned Palestine to be a Jewish state in November of 1947, there was a large section that was supposed to be given to the Jewish state. And then they whittled it down in the ensuing months until, and the Jews kept on saying, okay, rip us off, rip us off, rip us off. Just give us something. Just give it. And so just something on May 14th, 1948 was going to be theirs. And then the five Arab nations say, and then we're going to pounce and kill you all. And it didn't work out well for them. It hasn't worked out. The British were behind making that happen at the, as I repeated, I'm repeating, that the British, the sun never set on the British Empire when those decisions were being made. And now look at it. It's turned into a Muslim country in London. You bless the Jews. God said through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you get blessed. You curse them, you get cursed. And so that's what the Bible said 4,000 years ago. And now we see it a reality today. What does that mean? The God of this Bible is the true God. Again, we're not believing a fairy tale. This isn't just a religion. This is a relationship with a God who spans all of history because he stands outside of history. He's the eternal God that told us what's going to be happening. Oh, that it would be according to your word. So he, Laban, removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and he gave them into the hand of his, Laban's, in context, sons. So he cleaned all the speckled and spotted out of his herd, gave them to his sons, and we're going to see in the next verse, put the 3 days journey between them so that there's no way to mix the flocks, and sends, okay, Jacob, now go continue to take care of my herd of non-speckled and spotted sheep and goats. Now, again, I know of people that are, you know, Jacob is a foreigner, right? Laban knows he's not one of us. We live in Haran. We're idol worshipers. You came from 500 miles away. You're a foreigner. We're going to treat you badly. Jacob doesn't throw a fit. He puts his trust in God, as we're going to see. And I know that you are considered foreigners, many of you, by your bosses, by your neighbors, by your family, by people. And they might treat you like a foreigner. And you can react like the world, or you can react like Jacob. Allow this to be an application to your life today. You know what? It might not work out as well for you as it does for Jacob. But it doesn't matter, because it works out well when? When do we know it works out well? When we go to be with Jesus. Then everything gets evened up. How long until we go there? James says our life is just a vapor that appears for a moment and is gone. And if we're led to be in a place, then we should realize that sometimes when persecution comes, we just say, okay. Jacob says, okay. I'm going to trust God in this. I'm going to trust God that what they mean for evil is going to be turned to good. And we're going to see that lesson in spades with Joseph, who these brothers want to sell Joseph into slavery. What they meant for evil, God is going to turn to good. And if we just trust God, we continue to be a witness for him. And that's a lesson here, because what Jacob does is he just trusts God. Now, Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of almond and chestnut trees. So he stripped off branches of these various different trees, peeled the bark off of them, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. and the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So somehow God gave him the wisdom that these trees stripped of bark would actually add some ingredients, some molecules of whatever was in those trees into the water where they would come to drink, and it would help the fertility of the flock. And either miraculously or, you know, by actual reality of those trees. People have tried it. You know, they try and find exactly which trees he was talking about looking at the Hebrew, and they say, we don't see any difference. Well, then it was miraculous. And God just said to do it. And we know that God told him to do it because he later on tells his wives, the daughters of Laban, he goes, God gave me a dream to do this. He gave me the dream and the wisdom of what I was supposed to do. Flocks came to drink so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods. They became very fertile. As soon as they went into heat, they're dropping their offspring, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. So God said, Laban thinks that by breeding, that all the speckled and spotted are out, and the two, you know, all the whites and the normal colors are not going to give speckled and spotted. Well, God can intervene on that, couldn't he? And he does. He goes, you want to curse my servant Jacob? I will bless him. And then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face towards the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flock by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. So he's still taking care of Laban's flock. But every time the same color of Laban's flock gives birth to a streaked, speckled, or spotted, then now Jacob goes, now that's the beginning of my flock. And in the ensuing 6 years, Laban's flock went down to nothing, and Jacob's flock grew and expanded because of God watching out for him. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, making sure that they would conceive, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So he just trusted God. And God can give us in this life, and certainly in the life to come, he can outdo the curses that people give us. And I've seen many examples where people just trust God, and they walk away from a bad deal or whatever else. And because they're just serving God, God gives them a blessing in a way that they just don't even understand. It's a miraculous blessing. So we have to trust God. I was even thinking about this from the standpoint of, we have a YouTube channel at the church. And how many of you have used YouTube in the recent days? You have to check the block now. You have to look at the new agreement in the block. How many of you have seen that recently? Came up. And how many of you actually went to go review the new agreement? Most people did. I read the new agreement. You know what it says? It's basically saying, we want you all to be perfectly aware of the fact we're going to shut you down if you don't toe the party line with hate speech kind of stuff. It didn't use the term hate speech, but it's like if you say anything contrary, and that includes, again, we put on YouTube our services. We have our services talking about the Word of God. We have the Word of God that deals with things like Sodom and Gomorrah, immorality, all this other stuff. So that's messing with sexual orientation, which is something that's now forbidden to do. You can't say anything that would cause anybody any angst about those topics. And see this, and I think it's another week or two before these take effect. It's already been happening in the country, and I'm just realizing, isn't this something that we are living in a time of the world where the conservative, God-fearing thought, communication, speech is about to be 100% censored, except for just back to face-to-face the way it used to be. And think of the wisdom. I hate to say that Satan used wisdom, but he does, because he's a deceiving creature. But he used wisdom to create an entirely new way to communicate. and makes it universal with all the social media, the YouTube and everything else. That's the only way you can communicate. Even the newspapers are going dead, and the ones that are still alive are owned by the conglomerate of the globalists, so that even there you don't get any conservative thought through the newspapers today. So in other words, it's just like in Germany when the Holocaust was coming to Germany and this fascist leader Hitler came into power and he burned all the books. You don't have to burn books anymore. You just say your account's deleted. And you now go try and communicate. And where would you go to communicate on a global scale or even a neighborhood scale or family scale today? And then I was thinking, we might even have to cut this out so they don't have to get ideas. But we have our own website. We could post on our website. But you realize that under the Obama administration, we gave the web to the international globalists. And they have, in their purpose statements, they have the same thing. They just haven't used it yet. So okay, fine, I'll post it on our own website to communicate with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh no, you can't. They'll delete the website. They'll delete your IP address for your website. And I'm just saying, Laban was persecuting Jacob. We don't want you to have anything. We don't want you to have any wealth for us. We don't want you to talk. We don't want you to communicate. All we're going to be able to do is go, okay, Jesus, I've been thinking about this since yesterday. Yeah, I'm just going to trust you. And it's going to be interesting. That kind of goes back, full circle back to us just talking to people. Isn't that strange? You know? Well, I won't be able to text. Well, just talk to them. They're just across the table from you. So just talk to them. We're going to go back to the way God created us to be able to just talk. And the way Paul was. And of course, they'll still be able to put us in jail and beat us like they did Paul. But we can't. Our future is face to face with people in the last days. It's going to every other form of communication of the true message is going to be censored out. And we just have to be aware of that. Because they don't like our Jesus. Now, chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Is that true? Absolutely not. It was God that started blessing Jacob, who was being cursed by Laban. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that happened. Because God is the one who said it. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and your family, and I will be with you. Jacob, you're in the hated area. You know, they hate you in Syria now because I'm blessing you. They hate it when I bless you. And so I'm telling you, go home. God himself is saying, go home. And isn't that what happened to the rebirth of the nation of Israel? Hated in the world where they were, out of the promised land. End of the 1800s, all of a sudden the Jews are waking up. They hate us. The pogroms of Russia and these other places, they hate us. And they just like, go home. Just go back home. And that's what gave the birth of the Jewish nation. We will destroy you, annihilate you. God says, oh, they mean a curse upon you. I'm calling you home. Go home. And I will give birth to the nation of Israel on one day, as Isaiah 66 said. Just phenomenal how something 4,000 years ago is replayed in our history now. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, so they must not have been living in close proximity during that time of shepherding, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. He loves God. He keeps trusting God. He doesn't want to get back. He doesn't want to hate Laban. He just says, but God has taken care of me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So in other words, even after the original deal where Laban thought, oh, man, it worked for me forever and it's all going to stay mine. Even when God starts to bless Jacob and his flock, then Laban came and goes, okay, we're changing the deal. We're changing the contract. Now it's going to be just speckled. Now it's just spotted. And Jacob goes, okay. And God would say, all right, we can do that too. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. It's not me, it's God. And the Jews say the same thing today. You want to kick us out of the land? Sorry. God gave it to us. And God is going to keep us here. The God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has given us this land. He's brought us back in the land like he promised, and it's not going to change. God is going to keep us here. And we know that's going to be true, although they're going to suffer in the coming wars. And it happened, verse 10, at the time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So he received all the wisdom of whatever it was he really did. He received that wisdom from God himself. And what does that mean? He sought God. Whenever you are being persecuted and things are going wrong with a family or your job site and everything, what do? We run to God. And realize right here, God sees what they're doing to us. And he can deal with it. And we might at times move on and go someplace else, work for somebody else, whatever, but God sees what's going on. And then in verse 13, it says, I am the God of Bethel. And as we studied, Bethel means house of God. I am the God of the house of God. And where that term Bethel came from is when Jacob was running away from his brother 20 years earlier, he stopped in this town that had been formerly called Luz, and he just sleeps with a rock as a pillow, and he has nothing but his staff. And all of a sudden, the heavens open up, and he realizes this is the very house of God. I'm seeing angels coming from heaven and down and back, and this is God communicating with me that he's going to take care of me. And so what God is doing is reminding Jacob 20 years later, remember, I'm the God of Bethel. When you have that experience with me, that I am going to watch out for you. And look, it's 20 years later. You have all these children. You have these flocks. I have taken care of you. And you promised me that if I would just give you the shirt of your back and food to eat, that you would let me be, that you would call me God. And look at what I've done. And I'm telling you, go back to Bethel. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me that if I took care of you, you'd serve me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. We're going to do communion today, and for all those that are believers, I want you to think during communion time about what it was like that day you left your world, the world that was serving the devil, the world that was contrary to God. We're going to keep going a few verses, But I wanted to emphasize this right now, because God is calling us to Bethel, isn't he? And the ultimate call to Bethel is when we hear the trumpet blast. And I'm increasingly convinced, and my little theory is when the world refuses to even allow us to share the gospel, where it will be completely shut down, then why, to me, that's when God's going to say, okay, remnant church, the few that are here, because Jesus himself said that when he comes to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? And it doesn't mean the second coming. He knows, the scriptures are clear what he knows is going to be happening at the second coming. But what he means is for the rapture, are there going to be people that are going to hold on to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and truly love him until the end? Well, the answer is, I know many people that are holding on, but we're a remnant. We're just a small, there's just a small number of people in light of all of Christendom that are holding on to the truth of the gospel. And he's going to call us and he's saying, we're going to Bethel. Are you excited about going back to Bethel? Are we kind of done dealing with a world that hates our God, hates us because we follow God? I can't wait to go as soon as he allows us because he's done using us. And then this is interesting too. The next three verses, then Rachel and Leah, verse 14, answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us, our father has sold us to you, and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. What should they have said? When Jacob came to his wives and said, you know what, I'm going to go back to the promised land. And they would have known he's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is the promised father of the Jews. All these great precious promises. What should they have said? You have been chosen by God to be a blessing to the world. And where else would we go? Of course we're going to go with you. What was their answer? Well, you know what? Because our dad's out of money and we can't stay here with him because it's really kind of all gone to you, I guess we're going to have to go with you. There are so many people in the quote church today that are only there if God will give them a Benny. In fact, they're encouraged to go there because God's going to give them something. I'll be a Christian, go to church because you tell me, you pastor, you tell me that because I'm a Christian and because I go to church, I'm going to get that job improvement. People are going to like me. My wife's going to treat me better. My children are going to treat me better. All these things because I give to God, God gives to me. No, it should be like Ruth. You know, your verses there in your notes. Ruth the Moabitress, who is living in Moab, a cursed country, an idol-worshipping country, but she gets influenced by her mother-in-law who loves God, Naomi, and so she comes and hears about the true God. And so then when Naomi is heading back to the promised land, and she goes, okay, you Moabitress, Ruth, go ahead and stay with your own people. What does she say? Not your wife. Ruth 1:16. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Communion today, as we remember what Jesus did, is for everybody that has that attitude about Jesus. Because Jesus says hard things. When he said the hard things with his disciples, unless you eat my body, drink my blood, unless you are totally into me, unless you have taken me as the sustenance for your true spiritual life, then you have no part of me. And then a bunch of disciples, you know, which literally just means followers. The church just wants to make followers of Jesus. That's not what the Bible says to do. Because there were thousands of followers of Jesus in Jesus' day. And they're just looking for a Benny. They're looking for a free meal. They're looking for something from God. Now, you know, people follow Jesus for all kinds of reasons. What God calls us to do is to be born again. To be taking of him. To say that he is truly ours. And that nothing in this world is going to change that. Those daughters should have said, we don't care about our family. We don't care about idols. We don't care about any of this thing. We want to be with you, the promised chosen one of God who worships the true God, is what they should have said. But we know that's not their attitude because Rachel steals the idols from her dad. So Jesus says, are you to his disciple, to his 12 disciples, are you also going to go with them and just take a hike because of this hard thing that I told them? No, we have come to believe that you are the Christ, the sent Messiah, and you alone have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? So communion today is, if you know there is nothing, you trust and believe in Jesus, not because you're expecting a Benny, but because you know you've received the Benny, a changed heart, a Holy Spirit that's inside you, that's giving you a love for him, for God, And you're growing increasingly. You realize the things of this world are growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, that you love him and want to follow him. Colossians 1:13. And he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. God took us from sin and death and darkness and delivered us into his light. How? Through the blood of Jesus. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions, which he had gained in Padan Aram, which is up in Turkey today, 500 miles away from where he'd come from, to go to his father Isaac's in the land of Canaan. Now, 20 years ago, Isaac was thinking he was going to die. He's still alive. Now, Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Clearly, you know, she's not following because of a love for God at this point. She's grabbing the idols of her dad's house. And we covered that last week. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban, the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed towards the mountains of Gilead. You know, to leave the world, to leave this dark world, a life of sin, rebellion, to leave people that love you, partying with them, to leave and to just head to, I'm going to go be with God. I'm going to do it his way, is the attitude that we all, as true believers, we're going to have for the rest of our life by the power of his Spirit. And just look around. What does this world have? The world is getting on the road to the complete chaos predicted by the prophets of what the last days are going to be like. And we have nothing to lose, everything to gain, to just keep on serving and walking with God until he comes to take us home. And so with that, I've already said that if you're a true believer today, you love Jesus. No time to share. You love Jesus. I keep on hearing about churchgoers that all of a sudden just completely flake out on God. Pastors that start to say they don't even believe. They don't believe at all the things of what scriptures say. We're seeing it increasing. It's like, it's almost like God is sifting. He's sifting the true believers from the believers. If you know you love Jesus, you're here because of Jesus. You're here because you know he's saved your soul, delivered you from darkness to light. And although you're not perfect, you have a heart that wants to serve God. Then when we are going to be sharing this worship song here in a moment, then come and take the juice and the bread and take it back to your seat. And we'll take it together after we just pray and thank God for what he's done for us. But if you're not there, don't, you know, God knows. God saw what Laban was doing to Jacob. He saw what Jacob was doing. He sees what's really in your heart. He knows what you think about his Jesus. And so don't let him call you a hypocrite by seeing you come up and do something that's really just for us. We're going to remember what God did through his son Jesus, that Jesus shed his blood on our behalf. And for the bread, remembering that Jesus allowed his body to be pummeled and to otherwise suffer against sin, because he was tempted like we are, yet he restrained and beat down his body to never sin so he could be our Savior. And we're going to remember that. And that's only for people that love him. So we're not going to judge you, because we were all there one time. And you got to be honest with God. But come on up, and if you're a true believer, and the worship team, come on up, worship team, and let's pray. And then we'll take in the elements together, go back to your seat, and hold them until we take them together. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege of being able to know you, God. The awesome privilege of knowing that you're the true God among all the so-called gods that the billions of people in the world are deceived into thinking are real. The fake gods, Lord. We know that through history you have revealed yourself in ways that make it so perfectly proven that you are the God of gods, the King of kings, the soon coming Lord. And Father, as we see the storm clouds of persecution coming to this country and even the message of telling people about your love for them being stifled, we pray you'd help us to be bold to continue to proclaim the truth until you come. And God, as we do come up to take the elements, help us to not just remember right now, but through the week and through the month, that we would just start a day remembering what you have done to give us life in the midst of a world of death. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and come on up and... What we're remembering is the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he was on his way to Calvary, to the cross, to die on our behalf. And so, lest we forget, let's go to Calvary and remember what Jesus did to purchase us back. It's so hard for us to remember. And as the day, you know, the tribulations of the day, the persecution that comes, even the persecution of the worldly, fleshly temptations that come our way that we might give into, that are all because we aren't remembering really what it paid to get us back. Paid for us to have everlasting life. He bought us from the devil Satan. He took us out of slavery and out of our own lustful flesh and gave us the power to be going into his kingdom forever and ever and ever. It's not like Jacob going back to Israel. It's like us going to heaven, where God originally had it intended for us to live with him forever. And that's what we're remembering. So, Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus in human flesh, born of a virgin, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Father, just as Jesus became the Son of God and the Son of Man through Mary, to live in human flesh and, as your word says, tempted in all the ways as we are, yet without sin. But he never sinned, and he endured all of the sufferings of man could put upon him, to be spit upon, mocked, lied about, persecuted, all because he knew that he was beating back the devil Satan's plan to thwart his plan, to thwart Jesus' plan, to come and endure that, all that suffering, all the way to the cross, so that we could be saved. And as we take of this bread, Lord, that you would help us just appreciate in a deeper way what you did to save us from sin through Jesus. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread. And Lord, as your word said from the very beginning, when you covered up the sins of Adam and Eve through the animal that shed its blood that you used to make skins for them, that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, and you allow Jesus to be pierced, his hands and his feet and his head and the Roman spear through his heart, Lord, gushing out water and blood, as the scriptures say, all symbolic of that perfect sacrifice that truly washes away our sin to make it so we, as if we have never sinned. And I just pray for all the saints here today to just take a moment to reflect on every single sin that they've committed in rebellion against you and against man is going to be completely forgiven for all of eternity because of faith in your Son, Jesus, that you died and that you, Jesus, died and shed your blood so that we could be bought back, purchased by you. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a good God we serve, and he is coming soon by all the signs that we see. And it's kind of like, you know, when a game comes or you get close to the finish line, it's really a bummer to watch if everybody just walked off of the field, wouldn't it? Just go, man, it's almost over. And yet the world wants us to do that, to just kind of give up because it's almost over. No, let's not. Let's double down, serve him until he comes to take us home. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing,
Jesus Messiah. Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, glory to you, God. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Amen. The most important part, Lord of me. You know, in fact, I think I'll sing it that way next time. The Lord of me. That Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life until you come in every single way. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.